This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, presented by Hooters. Let's get a word from our wonderful sponsor.
At Hooters, you can watch the games with all your buddies. And when your buddies are the world-famous Hooters girls, there's always plenty of ice-cold beer and those craveable wings that'll knock your taste buds into next Tuesday. Hooters girls know plenty about football, but we really know the fans that live for it. So hang out with all your buddies all season long at Hooters, your official hangout for game day. And while you're there, enjoy Hooters' great game day eats. Join us for the Bucks Players Show every Monday night at 5 p.m. at Hooters on Hillsboro.
Hooters for the second straight season is presenting sponsor of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. I thank them for their sponsorship, and I will probably be at the 4th Street North St. Petersburg location tonight, visiting with manager Tony, who is in one of our podcast leagues, and his team is doing quite well in watching the Monday night game tonight, just to see what kind of Tecmo Bowl numbers Pat Mahomes puts up for a fourth game after the fantastic numbers he's had. Most of you drafted him as a wide receiver too, and he has paid dividends. We even talked about on the previous podcast how if you drafted Goff and Mahomes as quarterback twos, if you're not in a two-quarterback league, my guess is it's time to make the move and elevate them up the depth chart if you haven't already. Some of you might have done that week three, which would have been a good move, and obviously week four for Goff would have been a good move off the Rams 38-31. Fantasy fun victory over the Vikings on Thursday night that we already talked about, but one footnote on the Vikings before we go through every game that was played on Sunday. I'm recording this podcast on Monday early afternoon, so there will be no review of the Monday night game for obvious reasons. We'll do that relevant to the Chiefs and Broncos later in the week. But Dalvin Cook, this popped up on RotoWorld. The headline, Dalvin Cook says he's less than 100%. We cautioned a lot of you on overvaluing Dalvin Cook as an RB1 just because of such a small sample size as it related to what he did last year before he was injured. And he wasn't out there when the Vikings were in need of offense trying to keep up with the Rams. He wasn't out there. So whether it was less than 100% or just because he didn't fit those particular plays in the playbook, you don't want to see your RB1 missing time like that, because based on some of the points being put up by RB1's big week, we'll talk about Ezekiel Elliott. Another huge week for Alvin Kamara. Granted, Mark Ingram comes back, met the team at the airport, wants to, hey, I'd love to be a part of this all of a sudden. You don't want to miss out on the RB1 points that you thought you drafted. Just ask any Fournette or Le'Veon Bell or David Johnson owner as well. This may also put Latavius Murray into play as a waiver pickup. His first shot at it a couple weeks ago wasn't particularly good, but this might not be going away. And it might be one of those where the Vikings have no choice but to continue to give Latavius Murray an opportunity. All right, game by game, let's see how quick I can make these thoughts. Many fantasy points out there in games that went over the total over the weekend. Texans and Colts, I guess what stands out there is the minute T.Y. Hilton puts up some yards. He's injured. He was injured, I guess you could say, once, and then they shut him down later in the game. There were some other receivers that made plays. Luck proved he can throw a ball down the field a bit. I'm sure it's one of those where the arm strength is coming back. He has to trust it physically. He's getting to that point. We also take away from the Texans game. Roto World note, O'Brien thinks Will Fuller could have played in the second half. That would have been beneficial for those of you that started Will Fuller, and instead QT came in, rookie, I believe, fourth round draft pick, and was a favorite target of Deshaun Watson when he wasn't targeting DeAndre Hopkins, who had his biggest game of the year. Bills and Packers, LeSean McCoy says he doesn't know why he wasn't used more. off, missing the previous week's game where the Bills defeated the Minnesota Vikings, who clearly have some defensive problems that few expected. From the Bills' standpoint, it was a game for Josh Allen after he put up two rushing touchdowns the previous week. Packers got it done. For those of you that have been sticking with Aaron Rodgers, I guess you were okay with it, but it's not what you signed up for with Aaron Rodgers. Geronimo Allison with a hamstring injury after Randall Cobb was injured and inactivated, and Aaron Jones, in his limited time, again, produced some results that are worth noting. If, for whatever reason, Aaron Jones is available on waivers in your league, you want to get your hands on the guy. I'm not saying he's a long-term solution, but he is worth rostering. I even started him this week in the podcast week and have no complaints with the result. Buccaneer train wreck in Chicago. For those of you that you wonder how you win in a daily game, you take some chances, because if you take a chance on a player that 95% or more of other people aren't playing and he goes off like Mitch Trubisky did, you win money. This is probably the best example for those of you that play daily games and wonder, well, why can't I win? Why aren't I higher up? Generally, there's a player or two in daily that goes off and you're saying, well, nobody has them. Well, yeah, somebody does, and they really benefit. Now, it's hard to have that player, which is why a lot of the successful fantasy players, they play many, many teams, because they're trying to find that particular player. And if it hits, they're going to cash, and it covers what would otherwise be their entry fee on all those teams. So Trubisky, who clearly was the worst quarterback in the NFL going into that game against the Buccaneers, will now have some waiver value, value in two quarterback leagues going forward. I'm going to hedge on it because I know how bad the Bucs defense is, how things can go south on that team in a hurry. We've seen it before, how deficient they are in the secondary due to injury and just poor drafting by Jason Light. At least for Jason Light, he had some guys on the field who were, other than the first and second round pick, who were inactive the first 3 weeks, the first and second round pick were on the field and made no impact at all. Tariq Cohen and Trey Burton back in play. Now, this is the plan with Matt Nagy in Chicago. Matt Nagy has his way. Burton and Cohen are going to be fantasy relevant. I think Nagy has just had to scale down a little bit of what he's wanted to do these first few weeks, because to win games, and because Trubisky might have been unable to execute the game plan. But no problems against the Buccaneers. Also, still a lot of targets to Allen Robinson, who is at least target-wise worthy of wide receiver 2/3 flex play consideration going forward if you haven't already been playing him. Dolphins never play well in New England. They just don't. So I throw this game out. Now, granted, nothing about the Dolphins should fantasy excite you that much. They're one of those teams where even when they win games, you might not get any fantasy results that have you run into the waiver wire or switching your starting lineup. Kenyon Drake is worth being on your team, but you're going to have to pick your spots where you're going to use him. And he's probably more of an RB3 right now than an RB2. And you could probably find better flex plays at wide receiver just because there's so many yards and touchdowns through the air these days. Running backs may be losing value, especially at the flex position, unless it's a running back who is catching balls out of the backfield like McCaffrey and like Kamara and Saquon Barkley, and now suddenly, who was on the receiving end of the big downfield throw to get the Cowboys in game-winning field goal range? Ezekiel Elliott. So keep that in mind on your flex plays. From the Patriots standpoint, it was a predictably bounce back game for Tom Brady and the Patriots. What stands out, though, is the game of Sony Michel. Much like his college teammate Nick Chubb, both the Georgia running backs produced fantasy points this week. So from that standpoint, I don't know what this – I mean, we've seen – who was the guy? Gray? I forget who was the back for Bill Belichick a handful of years ago that scored four touchdowns in a game against the Colts, and then he was inactive the next week, and you never heard from him again. I don't think that's the plan with Michel, but he needed to produce. He did. Roster worthy, yes. Start worthy, you want to see more. And the same thing out of Chubb, who is obviously behind Carlos Hyde. Lions and Cowboys saw an interesting breakdown. Another good game for Kerryon Johnson. Again, if you own him, you're happy you're owning him. I'm not sure yet he's starter worthy unless you were looking for someone to fill in for Christian McCaffrey or fill in for Adrian Peterson, who, by the way, Peterson didn't practice on Monday off the bye week. Bad ankle. It's just one of those things to follow with an older running back like Peterson. But for Kerryon Johnson, things seem good with him going forward, worthwhile. Remember, Blunt had a lot of carries in that New England game also, but Kerryon Johnson clearly looks like he's in a role where the Lions want to use him. For the other three wide receivers, Golden Tate stood out this week. It's almost wide receiver by committee with Detroit. Marvin Jones gets usually gets the red zone targets. Galloway has popped up, but Golden Tate had the biggest game this week. So all three of them are roster worthy. It's just a tough call, especially for those of you that have rostered two of them and decide to play one. I'm not really sure how you do that. Cowboys-wise, still no pass or catch out. Was it Swain, a tight end? A lot of tight ends produced. But as there are more and more passing yards out there, more tight ends will put up relevant numbers. But I don't think it's anything to get excited about with Dallas, but a huge game from Ezekiel Elliott and at least a fantasy roster-worthy game for Dak Prescott, for those of you in two quarterback leagues. Bengals and Falcons, which was, I believe, over the total before we got to halftime. The big game for Gio Bernard checked Joe Mixon's status going forward. But the Falcons just get destroyed by running backs who can catch the ball out of the backfield. So just keep that in mind going forward based on teams that play the Atlanta Falcons. If it's a running back who clearly is going to be on the field on down and distance and can catch balls out of the backfield, you were starting him against Atlanta. Another good game for Tyler Boyd. Another fantasy solid game for Andy Dalton as well. From the Falcons standpoint, where was Tevin Coleman near the goal line? It was Ito Smith. Interesting there. And Ridley gets in the end zone. And Julio Jones still has not. Jets and Jaguars. Another bad game for Sam Darnold. That's three in a row after a first good game. Not much else going there for the Jets. Even a none was. Targets were down. Jaguars dominated. If you own Leonard Fournette, as I do, as I said on a previous podcast, owning Le'Veon Bell has been better than owning Fournette. At least you knew going into the first game that you would not have Bell until further notice. Fournette has been an every week headache and nightmare. Especially when he gets pulled from games, as he has two of the first four. If you own Leonard Fournette, I hate to say it, but at this point, I wouldn't be playing him even if he is active, or I'd be shopping him to see if you can get some value back, because you just don't want to go through this on a week-to-week basis. Unless you're already 4-0 and you know you're going to make the playoffs, and then by week 14, 15, 16, you know the Jaguars will be making that push maybe to win the division or home field, probably dealing with amazingly, the Titans at that point, who knows, and that's when they'll lean on Fournette. Good luck with that. I don't want to own them at this point. I don't want to deal with it anymore. D.D. Westbrook, nice game. Cole, okay game. Titans and Eagles, I can't figure the Titans out. Corey Davis had his first NFL touchdown. We've been talking about him for two seasons, had his first NFL touchdown to win the game outright and had a big game overall. Poor game for Derrick Henry, despite volume, and a big bounce back game for Marcus Mariota. From the Eagles standpoint, Alshon Jeffrey had a good game. At this point, if you own an Eagle running back, good luck with that. And Zach Ertz, a lot of targets and still not getting in the end zone. Down game for Nelson Aguilar. Browns and Raiders. Baker Mayfield was okay from a fantasy standpoint. I employ a pick six penalty in the foundation league, so that hurt his points in my league. But in standard scoring, even with all the turnovers, he was okay. He had some drops. Jarvis Landry didn't go off as expected. He spread it out. Higgins had catches. Callaway had catches. A lot on the ground. Hyde got a lot of volume, and obviously Chubb had the two touchdowns. From the Raiders standpoint, Amari Cooper, good game. Jordy Nelson, good game. Cook again, solid game. Cook's been a pretty heavily targeted tight end through the first month now for John Gruden's offense. And for those of you that drafted Marshawn Lynch, you have to be very pleased. Even if you're not playing him, it's okay. You know, maybe have Marshawn Lynch behind Alvin Kamara and another RB2 that's been putting up relatively big numbers. But you have to like Lynch's production. He's running hard. He's playing hard. Seahawks and Cardinals, not much here with Chris Carson unable to go. It was Mike Davis and not Rashad Penny. At this point, I don't know if you're rostering Rashad Penny. I know running backs are tough to get, but I don't expect – I'm not jumping on the Mike Davis bandwagon because this is Seattle, and it just seems like every week it's just a whole new story in Seattle with their running backs. Bad game for Russell Wilson. From the Cardinals standpoint, Josh Rosen didn't do much. David Johnson did a little bit more, but still, it's pretty evident to a lot of people the Arizona Cardinal coaching staff may be the worst in the National Football League. And you got a first-time ever head coach there who might have been worthy of being a head coach, but he put together a really bad staff, and the results aren't good. Saints and Giants, down game for Michael Thomas. You better not complain, because what Michael Thomas did for you owners the first 3 weeks, give him a pass in week four. Alvin Kamara comes through with three touchdowns. Are you concerned with Mark Ingram coming back that Kamara doesn't put up those kind of numbers? Of course you are, but it might be good for Kamara in the long run. Just get Kamara a little time off so he can hold up for the entire season. There was a key drop in there was a bad play in the game from Ted Ginn on a kickoff, but he's still out there. And from the Giants standpoint, the volume's still there for Saquon Barkley. Beckham got in the end zone. Sterling Shepard had a good game, and that seems to be trending in the right direction with Evan Engram out. 49ers and Chargers. 49ers are just a mess. I like George Kittle. I can't justify rostering him. If it was a two tight end league, maybe, but Kittle had a huge play in this game, but no McKinnon, no Jimmy G. Matt Breida was okay. He's still where's the Roto World note? Played 63% of the snaps in this game. Did Matt Breida, he is roster worthy going forward. He might be one of the better things the Niners have, in a lost season, from the Chargers standpoint. Continue to think of Kittle and DFS as a cheap tight end play in DFS. I think he will be worthy most weeks, not all. Chargers-wise, I didn't look that closely at this game, but it still looked like a lot of Melvin Gordon, plenty of Phillip Rivers. Keenan Allen was, I think, injured, so I don't think there was as much there. I don't think Mike Williams got in the end zone, but the Chargers in the end, they got it done. And Austin Eckler continues to be worth owning if you have the luxury of owning him. He gets time, and he's a quality handcuff to Melvin Gordon. And the last game was Ravens and Steelers. You might want to now start considering the matchup against the Ravens as a reason to sit guys on the borderline if you have a better matchup. Just give you an example. So if you have – now, granted, A.J. Green put up 3 touchdowns in 17 and a half minutes against the Ravens. But other than that, they haven't given up very much through the air. So let's say you have – I'm just going to throw out sort of a guesswork matchup here. Let's say you have one of the Lions, okay? Whether it's a Galloway or a Marvin Jones or a Golden Tate, and they're playing the Ravens. Again, I'm just making this up to give you an example. And you're like, okay, well, do I play them? Or you've got a wide receiver that is not quite as productive, but say is playing the Buccaneers. That's where you might want to be matchup specific, because it's clear the Ravens, other than for 17 and for 3 throws in the end zone against AJ Green in week 2, can defend the pass. They defended Antonio Brown and Juju Smith-Schuster extremely well. Steelers had less than 50 yards of total offense in the second half. And that's in this league right now, where we have all these high scoring games, and the Steelers had under 50 yards against the Ravens. And it's not like the Ravens were pulling away. It was Justin Tucker, Justin Tucker, Justin Tucker, Justin Tucker, which is great for us Justin Tucker owners. I own him in both my leagues. So despite Al and Chris trying to put the kibosh on him late in the game, thanks, guys, didn't work. Justin, just keep it going. So, yeah, matchup specific now. I don't think there are a lot of defenses that are going to scare you out of starting. Now, of course, you're not going to sit a Tyreek Hill or a Michael Thomas or a maybe not an Alshon Jeffrey. What's another one? A Davante Adams. You're not going to sit those guys. But if it's a flex play or a wide receiver 2/3 going up against the Ravens, and you have another play just below that in production, maybe going up against a team that clearly can't stop the pass, like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you might want to consider making that switch. I mean, we're at that point in the season, but certainly that matchup doesn't look like a good one. Other than, of course, the A.J. Green 3 touchdowns early in week 2. From a Ravens standpoint, John Brown, very solid month of September. Joe Flacco, same thing. Collins had a key fumble on the goal line. That's bad news for Collins owners who were hoping, you know, not to be vultured by Buck Allen again. Yeah, that's not what you want to do to get the call on the goal line. So, from the Pittsburgh standpoint, James Conner's numbers are going in the wrong direction. The volume is still there. The production is not. Just not sure if he's holding up or if now that there's tape on James Conner or recognition of the play calls, if opposing defenses are just more aware of what James Conner can do. Brown and Juju are going to be fine going forward, and you got to sort of, you know, pick your tight end. If you like a Steeler tight end, 1 week it's Vance, 1 week it's Jesse, and it's just hard to know. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is presented by Hooters. Hooters is a terrific place to get together with your friends and watch pro football to see how your fantasy team is doing or your favorite pro or college team on Saturday. There's always drink specials going on. And you're waited on by the world famous Hooters girls who just, I know, from here in Tampa Bay, they had the Big Hooters Calendar Girls signing event over at the original location in Clearwater on Saturday. Our friend Ty, who works the bar on usually, what is it, Thursday nights at the Hooters in Hillsboro, is in the calendar this year. She was in the insert last year. We're happy for Ty. We like Ty. She's come out to the golf tournaments. And we wish her well. Speaking of the golf tournaments, now that we're in October, my next golf tournament is end of this month, Sunday, October 28th. And it's the golf tournament where you play parlay card on the afternoon football games to benefit your golf score. We're going to play some speed golf on holes 9 and 18. I'm going to feed you lunch from Better Bird, a carved roast beef dinner from Chef Daniel at West Chase Golf Club. All of that is $68 per player. $68 per player. I do have tee times available. For information, just email me at toddwrightgolf@gmail.com. toddwrightgolf@gmail.com. October 28th, 1 p.m., West Chase Golf Club. It's Todd Wright Tour 17, XVII. For all the details and registration, go to joebucksfan.com/golf. Also, if you have any fantasy football questions that where the answers weren't covered in this podcast, just email me at toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com, and I will answer them. Thank you for listening to this edition of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast presented by Hooters.